It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The flooding isn't over yet, and already Midwestern officials speak of $1.5 billion in damage. That may be enough money to cause some people to ask why so many Americans still live so close to the Mississippi and other rivers. It turns out that in some ways, the occasional flood may be cheaper than the alternative. In a moment, we'll hear an explanation from the Army Corps of Engineers. We begin with some of the people who are trying to keep more damage from being done. Frank Morris of member station KCUR has been on the levees.
Urgent calls for sandbags crackled across dump truck radios all day yesterday as thousands of volunteers, soldiers, and transportation workers scrambled to shore up two dozen or so weak spots along the river. Drivers jammed the heavily loaded trucks out little roads to levees, like this one just upstream from Burlington, Iowa, where the river is squeezing through and threatening to spill over. Paul Hay is hard at it, in a sweat-stained work shirt, throwing heavy white sandbags for a fifth straight day.
It's about saving the farm ground and the houses and the people that live down here. Lost it up on the Iowa River, but we're hoping to hold it down here.
Well, many here are probably working too hard to think that much. Dump truck driver Alan Sheely says some others are spinning tails.
Everybody's talking about the water and the speculation on what it's going to do and what they hope it doesn't do and what they heard it did, which it didn't, and, you know, there's always some rumors.
A lot of people in Burlington are taking the flood in stride. A steady stream of parents bring their children to witness the Mississippi's full power. Six-year-old Colby Geiger says he's been down to the bank several times and seen some curious things.
Yesterday, me and my mom and my dad saw a shed floating on the river. It was going down and up.
People who live around here get used to floods. Carol Williams has seen half a dozen major ones. He relaxes in the shade of a green awning in his front yard outside of Burlington. Though brown floodwater has swallowed the end of his street and crept within 20 feet of his house.
Yeah, right now I got 90-acre pond out back. But then that's the way it goes.
Williams is 70, tall and sturdy looking. He's from Oakville, a little town near here completely inundated with floodwater. His sister lost her house there. His brother may have, too. They haven't been able to reach it. Still, with nothing but a few feet of elevation protecting his place, Williams isn't worried.
Can't get too nervous about it. Why? You know, it's one of them things. It's going to happen.
Downstream, on the other side of the river in Dallas City, Illinois, Tamara Miller has it much worse. Filthy, stinking floodwaters press against the 4-foot-high walls of a sandbag fortress that she, her family, and friends have built to shield her small home. The water's getting through.
It smells like a hog confinement. Flies, nothing but mud. You slip and slide all over the place. I mean, I used to have a really nice yard at one point in time. But you know what? You don't care what things used to look like. You just want to make it through the day.
Like many here, Miller's hard work this last miserable week is her only flood insurance. Now she slumps by the bed of a pickup where someone has laid out a simple dinner.
I just get to a point where you've done everything you can and you just can't do no more. So
Miller figures that today will be the ultimate test of her home's defenses. If they hold, she'll wait weeks for the wretched waters to recede, clean up her yard, and use the tons of sand now on her property to build a more permanent levee against the next 500-year flood. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Burlington, Iowa.